It's the Rosie on the House Show.
We just want the bomb. You are.
Home improvement here at Rosie on the House, Arizona's Saturday morning tradition for 26 years. We're talking this morning about creating that home gym, that routine, that pattern, that lifestyle that will result in you losing those happy holiday pounds. And a lot of people, I think a big mistake I've made it for years is I'm going to set a goal that this is going to be gone in 2 weeks.
That people have.
And at the end of the week, I've only got like three of those off and I lose heart and it's a long term. You got to go long term.
Well, it's got to be just a change. It's not a sprint. You know, it's your whole life. It's a marathon. It's taking care of your body so that you're around to run in the backyard with your grandkids, that you can get down on the floor and read them books, so that you can continue to go out on your horses and enjoying the desert. It's so that you can still continue to live a functional life through your entire life.
Now, when should someone get started?
Right after getting a physical from their doctor. Okay. Especially if it's been a long time since you have exercised. It's really important that you just go get cleared. If you haven't exercised in a long time, you might not realize that you've developed a little heart murmur, that your cholesterol is high, that your blood pressure is high. If you do decide to work with a trainer, they're going to make sure that you have had that done in the past.
Get a starting point.
There's your starting point. Then you know what your risk factors are. Then if you're working with a well-educated trainer, they know which types of exercises not to have you on, where to start you. If you're starting on your own after getting cleared from your doctor, you're just going to want to start simple. Doesn't mean it's easy, but simple. Walking, jogging, basic weights that I call them oldies but goodies. Squats, okay? Lunges. And I know in the 90s and early 2000s, lunges had a really bad reputation. The reason for that is the science in the practice of lunges in the 80s was terrible.
Okay? We'd go too deep?
They would go too deep. Trainers in the 80s would make you touch your kneecap to the ground.
I remember that.
Horrible. Okay. Once your knees have bent, the muscles are doing the work. Okay. The longer you're in the lunge, the longer muscles are doing the work. The more calories you're going to burn, the more results you're going to have. But that does not mean that you need to be bouncing your kneecap off the ground. Okay. That's where people were busting up their knees with the lunges. Doing it that way, or when they're doing a lunge, letting their front leg, their knee, push way out over their toes. Okay. Those are the two ways you can really bust up your knees doing lunges. Great exercise, really easy to do wrong. Okay.
Now, a lot of these super intensity programs, what is that one called? Insanity? Is that what it's called?
There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And they all operate off the idea of HIIT, H-I-I-T, high intensity interval training.
Okay.
It is not for everyone.
Okay.
Okay. This is the time when you sit down and you evaluate what you want your rewards to be and what you're willing to risk. Okay, high intensity interval training has high fast rate of change in getting your goals. However, they also have high rates of injury.
Not good.
Okay, so it's a good time to evaluate how badly do I want to drop this 10 pounds, and is it worth busting up my knees for?
Let's take the 6 to 10 month outlook. Let's look at the BOSA ball, the bouncy ball, the stretchy bands, the cardio workouts of choice. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to have to talk about, we've got to talk about calorie intake at this point.
That's a good place to start.
You've got the Atkins diet, you've got the F diet, you got South Beach. I mean, I could go on and on and on. There's hundreds of different varieties. And as you read one, they all tell you how it is the only one that can work and all the others, why they're bad for you. It's unbelievable. I've heard more bad things about the Atkins diet than I've heard good things. But then you get to an Atkins diet practitioner and they will go to the grave telling you how effective it is.
There are 100 different personalities out there and 100 different diets to accommodate all those different personalities. But when you look at all of these diets and you break them down to their bare bones, they're all essentially the same. There are levels of intensity within each one. And that's where the big differences are going to come. What you're looking at when you break down all these diets, what they're going to tell you is increase your fiber, decrease your calories and your simple carbohydrates. And if you increase your fibers with fruits and vegetables, those other two are just going to come naturally because you're just going to be full, you're not going to be as hungry, and your cravings are going to be drastically reduced. So I like to recommend that my clients take more of a moderated approach to these diets. Maybe use them to find recipes, to find inspiration. But as far as some of these diets where they put you in different phases, in phase one of a lot of these diets, they need people to be excited and they need people to lose a lot of weight very, very fast for them to continue the diet.
Mm-hmm.
So they have you cut out not only simple carbohydrates, but they'll have you cut out a lot. They also eliminate fruit, which is good, healthy sugars and carbohydrates for your brain and for your joints. And they'll also have you cut out vegetables that are higher in sugar, like corn and carrots. And I'm sorry, I know that carrots have had a very bad name for a very long time, but you did not get fat eating carrots, and you're not going to stay fat eating carrots.
When did carrots get a bad name?
In the 80s, there was a very popular diet.
Huh, interesting.
That said that carrots had too much sugar.
Huh.
And that concept, that idea.
I never once bit into a carrot and thought, man, that's too sweet.
It's going straight to my hips. Okay. So bare bones of most of these diets, you can take, like I said, you can take these diets and use them for inspiration and use them to get diets. I like to get a lot of my recipes from the Paleo Diet cookbooks. There's one website that I really love. I can share that.
Yeah.
Is againstallgrains.com. She has a very, very moderated approach to getting gluten out of your diet, which a lot of people are very sensitive to. But what it's going to do is it's going to cut down on your carbohydrates, it's going to increase your fiber, and it's going to increase your protein. All good things when you're looking to trim down the waistline.
Well, one of our clients years and years and years ago was a woman who had moved here from Idaho, and she was actually the founder of a organization called the Diet Center. Her name was Sybil Ferguson, and she was from, I think, Driggs, Idaho, and she became personally committed to losing weight, actually moved to Salt Lake City. She had five kids, I think. Moved to Salt Lake City and started living at the library, doing all the nutrition research she could. And she lost so much weight that she then started having friends ask her, how'd you do it? She said, I did it with diet. And when we were remodeling and building her home in Scottsdale, you know, she would always look at me and she'd say, Rosie, you got to remember one thing. Your stomach is this big. And she'd hold her hand out and say, if whatever you can fill in the palm of your hand is going to fill your stomach. And I would have a salad that big, then a steak that big, and a potato that big, you know. And then you reminded me of that same concept here just the last couple of years ago. Just, Dad, your stomach's no bigger than your open palm.
And that's where the idea of eating five times a day and instead of three big meals a day came into play. And I really believe in that. I believe that you feed your stomach only what it can hold and don't make it stretch. The other thing that's going to do feeding yourself five times a day instead of three is it's really going to level out your blood sugar. It's going to level out your energy. And when your insulin doesn't spike and then drop really hard, it's really hard for your body to store fat.
Okay, so we've talked about the home exercise equipment. We've talked about the 45 minutes, 4 days a week. We've talked about diet. Now, if someone's ready to step up and start investing in equipment, where would you have them begin that investment in home equipment?
First, I would have them look at the space they wanted to use to do that. Do they want to use a garage? Are they in a change of phase in their life? Did a kid just move to college and they have an empty room that they want to turn into a gym? Do they have a big sunroom that they don't use really? Do they want to turn that? So look at the space and see what you have. Then you can start looking at different options. So the ball is fantastic. I have this one client we did. She had a room that was vacated by a son that went to college. We got a 2x4. We drilled it into the studs in the wall.
That's my girl.
Yeah.
Then
we took those round hooks, and you might have to help me with the name of them. They're just a big screw with a hook.
Okay.
And we screwed it into the 2x4. I threaded my bands through that. So we had one really high, we had one at chest height, and we had one at the floor. So then essentially what you've done is you've taken one of those huge weight contraptions that you can buy and re-replaced it with three little pieces of wood in the wall and some hooks.
Okay.
And I liked the pieces of wood because it just helped stabilize it a little bit.
Now, can you go on Pinterest and get ideas on how to decorate that 2x4?
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, get some little like teal paint, fade it out a little bit, give it an antique look. Why not? Yeah. It's your room.
Yeah, surround it with mirrors and ostrich feathers.
And if you think about it, totally. And then what you can do is then you can put that in your living room and take the bands out when people are coming over. So you just look at your space. I did that. That was a great way to really maximize on the space that she had. And then decide what kind of cardio you want to do. You live in Arizona. 10 months out of the year, you can get outside and you can go for a walk. You can go for a bike ride.
You're killing a lot of equipment salespeople right now.
Well, not. No, I'm not. It's coming.
Well, the shoe salesmen are loving it.
Yeah, the shoe salesmen.
The bike salesmen's not.
Why does bicycling hurt my back so much? I cannot ride a bicycle. I would rather jog 30 miles through the McDowell Mountains than ride a bicycle to the corner.
You spend a lot of time sitting in a chair at work, and your lower lumbar is extremely tight. If you took care of that issue with a little more power yoga, the bike probably wouldn't hurt you. The other thing you can do is raise your handlebars. And that'll take a lot of the stress off your back.
Like
ape hangers?
Like the old fashioned butterfly bars?
Or, you've seen those ones where they're really low to the ground. The guys just lay back on them and pedal.
Yeah. Okay. That's sitting bicycles.
The sitting bicycles.
Yeah.
I would recommend that you just raise your handlebars.
Yeah, those sitting bicycles scare me to death. You can't see them in traffic.
You're going to be more efficient with your time as far as calorie burn with an upright bike than you will with one of those laying down bikes. No,
I'd rather jog to Tom's Thumb Butte every day than sit on a bicycle. The only thing more boring than bicycle riding is stretching.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll talk about that when we get back.